And you're listening to WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Craig Rich, and good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Juke. How are you?
Good. And guess what Craig is going to talk about? He's going to talk about underseas, the underseas world.
Yeah, I'm sort of a one-note Johnny around here. I talk about shipwrecks, and that's about
it. Yeah. And so what are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, I wanted to let your listeners know about what we're going to be up to this year, we being Michigan Shipwreck Research Association. Mm-hmm. MSRA is a Holland-based nonprofit 501c3 organization that does what a lot of people think is pretty cool. We've just, for the last, since about 1995, we've been out searching the Great Lakes for shipwrecks. We've had the good fortune to discover about 20 of them.
Really?
And then, we take it a step further. Rather than just keep them to ourselves or dive them ourselves, we have created a pretty nice webpage, if I do say so myself, since I'm the webpage guy. We also create DVD documentaries, and members of our organization go out and speak to schools, libraries, places like museums, historical societies, and other organizations all around the Great Lakes, and do presentations. We just did one, in fact, two of them on Saturday over at Washtenaw Community College over in the Ann Arbor area. And so our mission really is not only to discover, but also to document, to bring that information to the public and kind of educate people. And really one of the big things we do every year, which is part of that mission of bringing information to the public, is to do our own shipwreck show here in Holland, which is going to be March 22 at the Knickerbocker Theater. And the reason I'm here now is that it's, we've moved the show up about a month this year. It used to be in April, but the Knickerbocker is getting harder and harder. It's a very busy place. Lots going on there. So March 22, and I wanted to tell you about some of the programs that are there, because it is new, and it's a really, really interesting year. And I say it with a little bit of chagrin, because MSRA does not have a big local shipwreck discovery to talk about this year.
Really?
So we have, we just had one of those years where we covered a lot of territory. We now know where a lot of shipwrecks aren't, but we don't have anything new and exciting to unveil at the show. And that happens every now and then. You can't find something new every year. But we've got some great programs this year. One of them, one of my partners and fellow board members on the Michigan Shipwreck Research Group is Valerie Van Heest. And Valerie has been fascinated for about the last 10 years now. Back in 2003, I wrote a newspaper article that ran in the South Haven Tribune all about the loss of Northwest Airlines Flight 2501, which was a DC-4 airliner, for goodness sakes, that was lost out on Lake Michigan, and it seems that everybody had pretty much forgotten about it. So I brought it back to the forefront by writing that article. You remember the story about how Clive Cussler got involved and sent his search team to West Michigan for the last decade helping us look for it. Well, Valerie decided that she was so obsessed by this loss that she was going to write a book. And did so. And it's a great new book that she's got out called Fatal Crossing, The Mysterious Disappearance of Northwest Airlines Flight 2501 and Our Quest for Answers. She's going to do a program all about the loss of this DC-4 airliner, which is still out there in Lake Michigan, somewhere off South Haven, that area. Probably sitting on the deck of the Chicora.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's our joke, If we ever find the Chicora, we have to make sure we don't mess with the airplane parts that are on it. It's a sad thing that that there are these losses, but all these years later, we can joke about them a little bit. But it's tough work. It's long work. It's been going on for years and years. And we still haven't found either of those two. Those are sort of the top two prime objectives on our list. Another program is going to be Desperate Voyage. Our friend Dave Trotter from Canton, Michigan, He's sort of the dean of Great Lakes shipwreck hunting. He's been at it for 30 years or so. He's discovered over 100 shipwrecks over in the Lake Huron area. And last year, he discovered, with his team, a Civil War-era sidewheel, they call it a palace steamer, that was called the Keystone State, and it was lost in 1861. It had been already retired but reactivated to do duty during the Civil War when a lot of ships were being pressed into service for the from the Navy of the North. And this boat was on its way from really the Lake Huron area, the Detroit area, all the way around the Straits and down to Milwaukee, and it disappeared. And it's been lost now for 150 years, and Dave found it last year. Mm-hmm. There were lots of rumors of gold and contraband and rumors of, war-related cargo. And Dave is going to solve some of those and tell us the story on March 22 at our show. Now, the one that I'm most excited about, though, we have a friend in Chicago named Keith Pearson. Keith has been with a firm called A&T Recovery for probably 20 or 25 years. And A&T has a contract, and they have pulled from the bottom of Lake Michigan over 30 World War II fighter planes and bombers from Lake Michigan.
Really?
And the first question, of course, everybody's thinking is, how in the world did these fighter aircraft and bombers from World War II get into Lake Michigan? And it's a wonderful story. When the war started in 1941, we were pretty ill-equipped. You know, we didn't have pilots. We didn't have a lot of airplanes. We had a lot of old airplanes. And the Great Lakes Naval Air Station and Navy Pier in Chicago was the scene of the transformation of two old wooden steamers, one of them called the C&B and the other one called the Greater Buffalo. And the Navy took these two old retired steamships, totally cut off the superstructure so that they only had a little part of it over on one side that looked a lot like a conning tower, and then they planked over the entire deck and, in fact, extended the decks another 100 feet on each side so that they had these makeshift wooden aircraft carriers operating in Lake Michigan for one purpose, and that was to train our carrier pilots. So these young boys, 18, 19 years old, would come to the Chicago area, and they would get in these airplanes. I mean, things like the Vindicator and the Dauntless and the the F4F and all of these great planes that we've seen on all the old movies in World War II, you know, the Pappy Boyington type airplanes and the ones that we see taking off from the aircraft carriers and the old newsreels. And, of course, they weren't always successful. And a few hundred of these planes ended up at the bottom of the lake. And some of the pilots got pretty wet, but they ended up rescuing all of them. I don't think they lost any pilots. But it was a time in our history that then, of course, the door closed at the end of the war, and nobody cared about these airplanes. Well, over the last 30 years, they've been pulling them from the bottom of the lake very quietly, restoring them for museums all over. There's one actually hanging at O'Hare Airport. O'Hare, named for Butch O'Hare, who was a hero of World War II. And down in Florida, there's a naval museum with several of these airplanes. And a few of them, Juke, there aren't any others in the world. You know, if they're on land, they rust and get destroyed. Yeah. If they're out in the Pacific, where there are probably thousands of these planes, they're destroyed.
Yeah.
But in Lake Michigan, 70 years later, we've been able to pull them out, restore them, and put them on display. There's only one, I think it's the Vindicator, there's only one in the world, and it was pulled out of Lake Michigan.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story, and Keith is going to be here to talk and show video and slides and talk about how they've been doing this and what motivated them and why they're doing this.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Why would they think about that?
Yeah, it's a, they knew the history was there. And I have to tell you that while they were down there, while they've been out for these last 20 or 30 years looking for these airplanes, they've discovered a couple of other things just incidentally that have changed history, really. Number one, there's a forest out in Lake Michigan, underwater. It's
really
a prehistoric forest where when the glaciers receded, the land that we know now is very different from what it was back then. So there's a forest out there way north of Chicago that shows how small Lake Michigan was at one time. They also have discovered the remains of a World War I German submarine in Lake Michigan.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And that's going to be a great story for us to tell later, how a World War I submarine got into Lake Michigan. And they haven't brought that one up yet. It's still down there, and in fact, the location is still pretty secret.
Well, they got one German submarine, of course, in the museum over there.
Exactly, and this one they hope will at some time sit right next to it. One from World War I and the other from World War II. So, yeah, it's going to be a great story.
That's interesting. Well, we're going to take a moment out here for some weather, and the weather today, well, it's not the best. Flurries are predicted, steady to slowly falling temperatures from the upper teens. And for tonight, we can expect snow showers with a low of 15, and tomorrow snow showers with a high of 19, and on Wednesday, cloudy with a high of 10. And this weather is brought to you by our friends at the Wooden Shoe Restaurant, now featuring the Eggs Oscar Benedict. All right. It's not going to be a nice day today. Let's look at it that way.
Well, it's going to be cold.
I think it will be. Well, we're used to it.
You know, my standard joke every year is that if the groundhog sees his shadow, then there's six more weeks of winter. But if he doesn't see his shadow, it's only a month and a half.
I think we got a caller here. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Hello?
Is that going to be open to the public?
Is that going to be open to the public? Yes, it will be.
Yeah, the Shipwreck Show is, like I said, it's March 22. It's at the Knickerbocker Theater. We can seat about 500 in there, and we've sold out. Last year was not quite a sellout, but the year before was. So tickets are available now. You just go to our website. We're at michiganshipwrecks.org.
Okay, how much is a ticket?
It's only $12.50 if you get them in advance, and then we bump it up a little at the door so that we can, you know, hopefully get more people to book in advance so we know what size of crowd we're working with. So $12.50 in advance, $15 at the door.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that, of course, will give you a good show that you won't see anyplace else.
No, and you know what? It's a one-time thing. Yeah. These four speakers are only going to be brought together for this one night. I'm going to MC the program and not actually do a program myself this
really?
Year. I've done my programs on Ottawa County Shipwrecks, Muskegon County Shipwrecks, and others. And Valerie and I did a couple of programs in Detroit or Ann Arbor this past weekend, as I mentioned. But I'm just going to be the MC this year, so I'll be able to sit back and relax a little bit. I'm looking forward to Keith Pearson's show especially. I've seen Valerie's show once or twice in other venues, but she's not done it here in Holland yet, so that's going to be pretty cool. And then there's also another program that Valerie took part in that our friend Neil Zoss is going to present. It's called Deckhand for a Day. And those two have independently gone out and spent a day on the Maumee, which is one of the big ore carriers that operates to this very day out on Lake Michigan and throughout the Great Lakes. I say to this day, but I'm thinking the Maumee may be retiring or just retired. I'm not such a big boat nerd as a lot of people are, but they actually went out and spent a day traveling on the Maumee, and it's this awesome video to see that boat as it pulls into Holland Harbor, you know, from the deck.
Yes.
That's a perspective that we don't get.
That's right. That's right.
So the show itself I think this is the 16th annual program that we've done at the Knickerbocker Theater and a couple of other venues that we used in the past. But the Knickerbocker has been such a great host to it. Jeff Reynolds and the Joint Archives of Holland are a co-sponsor of the event with us.
And we got a call here. Yes, you're on the line with our guest.
I had read that during the war, World War II, so many of the RAF pilots had crashed their planes because of inexperience and youth. And I wondered, did that have anything to do with the fact that there were so many plane crashes on this boat, too? So I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Well, the interesting thing is that we were sending some of our airplanes over to England for the RAF to use before we got into the war, the whole Lend-Lease program and the very, you know, sort of quiet way that we were supporting the Allies in Europe while trying to placate the, you know, a lot of the pacifists here in the U.S. who didn't want to get involved, and of course, ultimately, we were dragged into the war. And the training, here's an interesting story. There was a young 18-year-old named George H.W. Bush that trained on the C&B, which became the Wolverine, when they flattened it, took the deck off and built it, or took the superstructure off and built a flight deck on it. George Bush was actually in Chicago as an 18-year-old, George Bush the senior, training, and he learned to fly right on Lake Michigan, and hopefully wasn't one of the ones who crashed his plane into the water.
No, but he crashed it because of the Japanese.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of our politicians, you know, a lot of them, and some of our astronauts, you know, came out of the fighter pilot programs of World War II and the 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Two of the guys I went to school with became RAF pilots.
Oh, yeah?
They couldn't wait to get in the war, so they went to Canada and signed up.
Yep, that happened quite a bit, I understand. And there are a couple of movies that talk about that. When you think about the Royal Air Force, there were quite a number of Americans,
and that's right,
of course Canadians and Australians and so on, but Americans that went over there and said, you know, we're going to be in this fight soon enough. I want to get some action now. And, you know, a few of them survived, but a lot of them went down in the early days of the war before America was even a part
right.
of the war.
We did that during World War One, also with the Lafayette Escadrille over
yes,
there.
Yes, very much so. And in the Spanish-American War, I mean, you know, it's an interesting.
When there's a fight, we want to be in it.
I think there are those who do. They definitely do. And as a country, I think we're, you know, we try to be on the right side of history and try to support the you know, the right side all the way.
Well, this is going to be a terrific show, I'd say, and some new things that you probably have never seen before. And
yeah, it will. Dave Trotter's been back at our show many, many times, but he's got a brand new shipwreck now, this Keystone State. The fact that it sank in 1861, I mean, that's over 150 years ago now. And, of course, the celebration or the commemoration, I guess, of the Civil War that's been going on the last few years. 150 years ago was 1864 right mm-hmm. now, and you know, there's just so much history. I think the one thing that got lost, and it bothers me a little bit, is the War of 1812 and the Battle of Lake Erie and the Great Lakes was just 100
yeah.
years ago, and it's kind of been glossed over. If you get Michigan History Magazine, it's one of the few where I've seen some nice articles that really commemorate Michigan's role in the War of 1812 and course, the Battle of Lake Erie. And I think I told you the story maybe a couple of years ago about how a vessel called the Porcupine, which was one of Perry's ships on the Battle of Lake Erie, ended up in Spring Lake, just a few miles north of here.
Really?
Yeah, and it's parts of it are probably still in that body of water up in Spring Lake, right off of Johnston Boiler Works in Ferrysburg.
No kidding.
There's so much history, there's so much, you know, just under the surface, and I look at people who go around with metal detectors, and they're doing what we do. You
yeah.
know, we're just using metal detectors that we tow behind a boat in 300 or 400
right.
feet of water, but they're looking for pieces of history, and sometimes they're looking for it, you know, to enrich themselves and to make a buck. But I think deep down, every one of them just loves the history and loves to learn and touch something that maybe no one's touched for 100 or 200 years. And that's how it feels to scuba dive on these shipwrecks, too, Juke. I mean, you're down there, especially if you're the first to discover it. You know, you go down there, it's dark, it's foreboding. You know, you're probably saying a little prayer, and sometimes you're not even breathing air. You're breathing helium or some other exotic mix, depending on how deep you are. And you go down and you touch the deck of a ship that somebody walked on. Maybe the last time anyone ever touched it was 150 years
right.
ago.
Right.
And it's such a feeling. And then you drop down inside the hold, and you just, you know, you try not to stir up the silt so that you can find your way back out. And it's eerie, it's scary, it's awe-inspiring. And to think about the people who were last, you know, there on that boat it's just something. It really is. And we try to bring that to our shipwreck show. We really try to get people to, when they come to the Knickerbocker Theater, they're going to leave after a couple of hours. Sometimes it's even too long of a program. It goes like from 7 till 9:30 or so. And but they leave and they're just shaking their head going, my, I had no idea this history lies right off our shore.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's all here, you know. And we think about the history of Holland. And when I think about the history of Holland, I drive down by the waterfront and I think about, you know, the big boats that used to come in. And I look at Macatawa, and I see it differently than a lot of other people do. And, you know, Lois Jessica Keyes has a new book coming out soon on the history of Jemison Park. And there's just so much history there from the last 100 to 150 years here in the Holland area that I think a lot of people are just oblivious to it. And if they want to learn about it, there are ways to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is just one of them.
Yeah, yeah. My dad bought the shooting gallery out of Jemison Park.
That's awesome. You know, I hear every now and then that people are digging in their gardens out there and they'll find, you know, like a piece of a merry-go-round or, you know, just, it's all there. Yeah. It's underground. There's stuff. And, you know, the stuff isn't worth anything, but it helps take you to a time.
Right.
It takes, you can look at something that you know that, you know, perhaps your great-great-grandfather, you know, touched that merry-go-round or that. You know, they had all kinds of rides out there. They had a great wooden roller coaster out there. I mean,
yes, they did.
The history of that park and all of the parks and the interurban that would take people out there. My friend Valerie is doing work for the museum that they're trying to build out of the old pump house at the Ottawa Hotel on the north side of the lake.
Oh,
and that's going to be a phenomenal program when it all gets done. It's going to tie in the history of the Ottawa Hotel, the whole Ottawa Beach area. She's totally redone the website. If you've ever been to the Ottawa Beach historic website on the internet, she's been involved in that. And, you know, just a few of us out there that are trying to carry on the tradition that has, you know, really been around in the Holland area for a long time with all these people like Randy Vandewater and others who have written the history of this town. And, you know, there's a few of us trying to continue that tradition. And then hopefully another generation will come along in 20 or 30 years and continue that tradition. Yeah. Maybe they'll tell your story.
Well, I recall we took a lady down to the boat one night at the Goodrich Docks, and she was going to Chicago. Took the boat out of there about, I guess it was about 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
They sailed across the lake, and, of course, they were there in, what, 4 or 5 hours. And they used to run every night.
Yeah, it's we're doing some research right now, because ultimately the money that we raise in this shipwreck show goes into this year's search effort out on Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. Where we'll be looking for various shipwrecks, including the Andaste, which is one that we really want to find off of our area here, somewhere off our area.
Yeah.
We're not quite sure.
The last story I read about the Chicora, I think someone said they saw light out in the lake,
mm-hmm.
but that was the extent of it.
Yeah, it was a tremendous loss back then, and anybody can go. If you go to our website, michiganshipwrecks.org, you can get your tickets for the show by clicking on the link there. But also go to the shipwreck link, and then you can click on a list of all these stories. And there are hundreds of great stories. And when you think about what used to define our area 100 years ago, if you look back to 1914, just 100 years ago, the resorts were in full steam. I mean,
absolutely.
They were just these brilliant palaces of hotels on Ottawa Beach and also Macatawa. And these giant 200 to 300 foot ships would come in several times a day from Chicago, back and forth, bringing all of these tourists. And they would bring, back in the day, you know, the husband would stay at work. But the family would come up here and live in Holland for the summer. And then the husband would come back and forth on the weekends and go back to work. Kind of a sexist thing to say, I know, but that's how it was done 100 years ago. And Holland was the playground, still is for some, but was the playground. It's where we live and work, but it was the place where people from Chicago would come to spend their summers and to get away from the city and the smoke and the smog. And it was just this, you know...
And
Frank Baum wrote about it. I mean, he wrote about how this was such an idyllic place to be.
They'd come to the Saugatuck Big Pavilion and...
Yeah, Saugatuck, South Haven, St. Joe, up to Ludington, Muskegon, Grand Haven. They were all resort communities 100 years ago. South Haven had a wonderful park, had a wonderful theme park there with roller coasters and, you know, the same thing we had at Macatawa and at Jemison Park. So I just love to live back in that era in my mind, you know, and... I'll never live through it in reality, but I like to write about it, read about it, and we mostly love to bring it to people through our website and through these shipwreck shows.
What does it take to get into this diving thing?
Well, you know, anybody can learn to dive. It's about $99 in any local dive shop, and then you spend a couple $1,000s on equipment over the years. If you want to dive in the cold water, it's going to cost a little bit more. But as far as catching the bug, I mean, it really takes, I think, more than just wanting to be a scuba diver. You have to... I know people who know more about these shipwrecks than I do, and they've never dived in their lives. You know, it's just people who have dove in figuratively with both feet and just wallow in the history, and they love the history about it.
Now, Is your book still around?
Yeah, I've got two books that are... Thanks for asking. It's nice to do a commercial. My books are both available at Reader's World. I have one book on Ottawa County shipwrecks and another one on Muskegon County shipwrecks. And, yeah, they still sell pretty well. My friend Rennie has them down at George's Smoke Shop, too.
Oh. Okay.
For anybody who wants to get a cigar in a book. But, yeah, my books are both available. My partner Valerie's books are available on, you know, also at Reader's World. And you can get them out of Barnes & Noble on the north side and all over the Great Lakes, actually.
Yeah.
They do quite well. My book is a little more parochial. It's about either Ottawa County or Muskegon County.
Right.
It's not, you know, the whole Great Lakes. So, obviously, it doesn't sell like some of the other books. But I appreciate it when people pick them up locally.
Is there an age limit as to how long you can dive?
I'll find out, I guess. You know
all
what?
Too soon.
You know what? We have a friend in Chicago named Bud. And Bud is 92 years old.
Really?
I think he's your age. And he still dives. We had him out helping us document the Thomas Hume shipwreck, which is between Chicago and New Buffalo a couple years ago in 2010. Well, he was only 90 then, of course. But but he still dives on some of his equipment from the 1970s.
Really?
Yep. And he doesn't stay down under long, but he's still out doing it. And he is a legend in Chicago diving. You know, he's the Mike Nelson sea hunt guy of Chicago. So, yeah, I think it's very individual, of course. Some people can't walk when they're 90. Others, you know, can still scuba dive.
That's right.
So, It's all, you know, your genes and your lifestyle and all those things that have affected you over the years. But I'll be 60 this year, Juke, so I'm...
Wow, you're on the way, huh?
I'm on the way. I'll hopefully be diving for another 10 years, maybe not quite under the ice like I used to.
Well, we've been talking about this program that's coming up, and that's the date on that is March...
March 22, Knickerbocker Theater, and tickets are available for $12.50 in advance. You can also join MSRA and you get a free ticket. So there you go. And then you get all of our emails, newsletters. You get to be the first to find out when we find a new shipwreck.
Yeah, isn't that? And who knows? If you get into diving, you might discover some of these shipwrecks.
Exactly.
That are long gone. And
exactly.
We don't know if we'll ever find them back, but we hope we do.
There's a lot of history out there yet to be discovered,
there
Juke.
Is. Well, thank you very much for being our guest this morning
thank
here,
you.
Craig. And it's always interesting to talk to you, and I find it so easy because you're very knowledgeable on the topic.